Web Talk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com. WebTalk is also brought to you by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. It turns your PC into a sophisticated web radio VCR. It's a great way to enjoy listening to the radio. Record your favorite music and radio shows and stations, and then listen anywhere and whenever you want on any device you want. Get the free trial download at replay-radio.com.
Thank you for joining us from around the world. This is Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com, and you're listening to the Internet's Future, and my name is Rob Greenlee.
Right over here, Dana Greenlee, and thank you very much for joining us this week.
Straight ahead on the program this week.
Well, the world's largest news site, Topics.net, just launched. Search engine optimization and public relations team up to get more traffic to your site.
Microsoft declares that it will launch its own search engine within the year, and Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, also states that all marketing will be like online. Then also in the next 2 weeks, the WebTalk Radio Studio will be the host of Ken Radio's World Tech Roundup. And in our digital mailbag, a listener writes he thinks .mobile domain names are a good thing.
News and information online is so vast, it can be almost unmanageable in its volume, which is why news aggregation search sites like Yahoo News and Google News are growing like crazy. The launch of a new entry, Topics.net, has many people saying that Topics is the world's largest online news website with over 150,000 news categories and news sources from around the world. Rich Skrinta, the CEO of Topics.net and co-founder of Netscape's Open Directory project, will join us in a bit on the show to explain his huge online news creation.
Our goal is to have a page constantly updated from the broadest variety of sources, basically about every person, place, and thing in the world. And we haven't done every person, place, and thing yet, but we've done the first 150,000 of them.
Search engines are becoming more important to any organization's public relations effort. Greg Jarbo, founder of SEO-PR.com, will share on the show how combining search engine optimization and public relations can be a powerful way to promote a company online.
There was a survey done by Middleburg Ross recently that not only found that 98% of journalists go online daily, 92% of them to do article research, but 73% of them are searching for press releases. We're basically providing them information that they're looking for at the time they need it, and our job is to hopefully help them find relevant information.
Let's dig into the news and trends online this week, Rob. Microsoft, I guess, has officially announced they're going to do something new.
They've announced that they're going to launch a search engine within the next year, which isn't necessarily really new.
Not a big surprise.
No, it's not. What this is a declaration by Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, to state their commitment to getting this done by the end of the year. And they've been testing the waters with this for quite a while. I think they've been having their search bot out there combing the internet, building a database, and they've also got a beta site out there. It's very similar to what Google News is out there, and it's at uk.newsbot.msn.com.
And I know a lot of you think that msnsearch.com has been around for a long time, but they're using other people to fulfill those search results. But if you know a thing or two about searching or your engineer, go to msnsearch.com, scroll to the bottom. They're looking for a lot of people
to hire. Well, and also Steve Ballmer made some bold statements, I know, at a conference this past week, and he was saying that all marketing, and this is like TV, radio, the whole works, will have characteristics of the online marketing world in the future. He's thinking that because PCs are going to be connected to TV sets more and there's going to be digital radio, that all the characteristics of interactive elements will bring kind of a direct response type aspect for tracking and advertising revenue. So it's going to be interesting to see this deploy.
Rob, we're going to be pulling some double duty on the radio this next 2 weeks. Not only are we going to do our regular weekly Web Talk radio show, but you are involved with, why don't you tell us?
Well, KenRadio.com's World Tech Daily Roundup News. It's basically a technology show, kind of similar to ours, but it's been around for about 5 or 6 years doing a daily tech show. And they actually talk about the news more than we do. We kind of talk about bigger trends. There's going to be about 3 guys that are going to be doing this. Peter York, and he's a local guy here in the Seattle area. And actually, I've been working with him on a city-owned wireless project. So I know him real well.
Well, the other co-host is going to be Andy Abramson. And the third one is you, Rob.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. No, Ken, the usual host, is going to be out of the country. So Rob's filling in for the next 2 weeks, and we're going to be recording it right here in
our
studios.
So definitely check it out.
Okay, well, let's open up our digital mailbag. We got a letter from our longtime and dear listener from like week one of the show for 5 years. Dan Park from Texas has been listening to our show, and he emails us now and then, but he mentioned Saturday, I made what I thought would be a quick trip to the local post office, but an overheated auto radiator quickly complicated things. Dan wrote, I had to contact a towing company without use of my cell phone, which I had left at home. Amazingly, helped arrived in near record time. Ultimately, I found myself sitting at a local auto service establishment waiting for a new radiator to be installed. Oh, that's great. He says, I had my pocket PC in my pocket, but none of the accessories. It was then that I remembered that just before this, my pocket PC had been connected to the net via ActiveSync and Plus Sync and Go.
Technology to the rescue.
Upon checking, I discovered that your program, Web Talk Radio, had indeed synced itself into my pocket PC prior to my departure on this ill-fated quick trip. Dan says, thank you, Web Talk Radio. I spent an hour in that waiting room, happily occupied with your program.
Thank you for the Web Talk Radio saga story on how we came to your rescue. We appreciate the email. Thank you very much. We also got an email from David Van Remortel, who actually works for CGI.net in Montreal. And he was taking exception a little bit to our comments on the show that we didn't feel that the .mobile new top-level domain name was a good idea. And he thought that it would be good for mobile users to have a central location or an identifier to help support mobile devices. And the more I've been thinking about it, the more I'm thinking that having a .mobile or .mobi.com type domain name is not necessarily a bad thing. But I also think that you still need to deploy scripts on your site that can redirect traffic if you got a pocket PC or something like that to a smaller screen version, just like what we're doing at webtalkradio.com. When you go there with a pocket PC, you can get to a smaller screen version.
Well, thanks so much for those letters. And
thank
if you,
you
want to send us something, please do. You can reach me at dana@webtalkradio.com and rob@webtalkradio.com.
We want to hear from you. Support for Web Talk every week is provided by web.com, the most trusted name on the net. And if you want to get a new domain name, go check them out because they got a really low price at $4.95 for a web.com domain name. And $6.95 for a regular .com domain name, and they have great hosting at prices as low as $7.95 per month. So go check them out.
Also, let's not forget our friends at Replay Radio. That's replay-radio.com. You want to record some streaming audio? Don't know how to download that? Yeah, because it's not possible. Well, now it is with Replay Radio. You just get this little bit of software, and you can use your PC just like it's a VCR.
You can also record music with this, too, so it's really cool. So go check out replay-radio.com. And we're also supported by the InfoCreek.com website. They offer terrific website design, and they have some very cool-looking, high-tech-looking websites. So go check them out at InfoCreek.com.
Topics.net is the world's largest online news website with over 150,000 news categories and sources from around the world. If you think that's interesting, don't go anywhere. After the break, Rich Skrinta, the CEO of Topics.net, and the co-founder, by the way, of Netscape's Open Directory project all those years ago, will join us to explain this huge online news creation.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Fell in love with a boy. I fell in love once and almost completely.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
Hey, radio lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
You're back with Web Talk Radio, and thank you for listening today. And my name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Dana. Well, news aggregation search websites like Yahoo News and Google News, they're growing like crazy. And just recently, a new news site launched. That's topics.net.
Many are saying that topics.net is the world's largest online news website with over 150,000 news categories and news sources from around the world. Rich Skrenta, CEO of topics.net and co-founder of Netscape's Open Directory Project, is on the line with us to explain his huge online news creation. Rich, it's great to have you on the program with us. Thank you very much for calling in.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, you guys just officially launched your site, and why don't you tell us a little bit more about what your site does and how it works?
Topics.net is reading all of the news published online basically constantly and categorizing stories both geographically as well as by subject. So we've got a local news roll-up basically for every zip code in the country for 30,000 towns across the U.S.
Wow, that's great.
And we also have 150,000 subject categories. So we've got a page about every sports team, a page about every celebrity, every music style. We even have a page about mobile home manufacturing, which has a surprisingly large amount of news on it.
And in fact, I mean, you can't fit 30,000 zip codes on your front page, but does the cream of the crop kind of rise to the top? Is that how you have it automated so that when you go to the front page, you see some of the major hot topics that are going on?
We've got links to the major cities in the country. And users can type in their zip code and go to a page just for news about their town. Mm. And we've got some of the categories surfaced on our front page. So we've got U.S. and world news. What else do we have? Journalism news, CIO news, health, technology. Basically a random assortment of categories from deep within our system. But to get the full experience of topics, you really have to click around and sort of experience the full breadth by viewing the internal parts of the site.
Yeah, you know, what's really fascinating about what you guys are doing is that you're almost a version of a search engine. There's a lot of people that are saying that you guys are the largest news website that's ever been created. Would that be a true statement?
Based on the number of categories, yes. I mean, if you look at Google News, they've got 8 categories: health, mm-hmm. politics, entertainment, sports, and so on, basically corresponding to the standard Associated Press taxonomy. Yahoo News has, they've got more. They've got 100 full coverage sections. We have 150,000 pages.
Oh, that's huge.
Our goal is to have a page constantly updated from the broadest variety of sources, basically about every person, place, and thing in the world. And we haven't done every person, place, and thing yet, but we've done the first 150,000 of them. We've got a page about every public company. So
wow.
5,500 public companies. We're tracking references to every disease and drug. Both brand and generic, 21,000 sports personalities, 45,000 celebrities, anyone who's ever been in a movie, anyone who's ever put out a music album.
Just incredible. I mean, building out that whole keyword thing must have been quite you spent a lot of long nights, I bet.
Yeah, it's a massive knowledge base which drives our system in conjunction with some artificial intelligence code that we developed.
Mm-hmm.
And the knowledge base knows the name of every street in the country, every bridge, tunnel, hospital, school, jail, body of water, baseball stadium, park, in addition to the other subject keywords that it's looking for. It's about 10 million lines of text that are constantly being looked for in every story that comes through our system.
It's totally mind-boggling what you guys are really building here and how it's kind of growing and developing. And like I said earlier, it almost seems like you guys are a search engine. What is the difference between what you guys are doing and maybe what Google is doing if you look at the broad picture of what you're actually indexing out there?
If you go to Google News and want to get information about, say, IBM, you would type in IBM, and you'd find a lot of stories that contain the three letters IBM.
Yeah.
But it might not be a good, relevant overview of IBM's current business.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at a story, we're trying to determine not just if a story contains certain keywords, but is actually about the concept that our page is about.
Mm-hmm.
A story we saw in the press that came by started with the sentence, .com survivors have aged like fine Bordeaux. Now, this is a reference to a style of wine, and
yeah.
we have a wine page in Topics, but it's not a wine story. It's a business story. It's a stray reference to something, and if you search for Bordeaux on Google News, you would get this story. But
mm-hmm.
it's not a wine story, and it's not what you're looking for. Our system can tell the difference between stray references to concepts and stories that are actually about the concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rich, you have this incredible background, you know, in creating just an incredible amount of things that we take for granted now on the web. So you kind of created, as you mentioned, some kind of artificial intelligence that's just proprietary to Topics that no one else has duplicated, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty unique in the industry. I haven't seen anything like it. We looked at what had been done in academic AI, and if you're going to develop an AI technique, 85% accuracy is pretty good. But for our purposes, we had to get far above 85% to make the stories look good on our page.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
If our AI was only at 85%, that would mean that on every one of our pages, two or three stories would be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get way above 99%.
Yeah, so you got to really hit the mark.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's a very pleasing site. I mean, you go there and it's not just, you don't get just lists of headlines. You know, it's text, it's formatted beautifully, it's very well organized. It's just a pleasure, actually, to go. It's exciting.
I'm glad to hear you say that. When we looked at creating a look and feel for the site, we went and looked at a bunch of the newspaper sites out there, and I didn't really feel that a lot of them looked like a newspaper. Maybe, you know, the Wall Street Journal online was the one that was closest to a newspaper look and feel, but a lot of them looked like regular websites. They weren't reminiscent of a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
We did some research and found that newspaper layout design is actually a rich field with 150-year history,
mm-hmm.
and there are books and guidelines about rules to follow to make something visually appealing in a print newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Things like if you have a photo next to a story and the photo is a picture of a person in profile, the person should be facing the text of the story. So very subtle, mm-hmm. non-obvious rules for how to do newspaper layout properly.
Yeah.
And when we looked at online websites for newspapers, we found that many of them didn't follow any of these rules at all. And I couldn't figure out why. Is it because of the separation of the print and online divisions?
I would say that that's probably the big reason, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But we thought we would try and bring some of these rules to bear on a website design and adapt some of it to the web and come up with something that was a little more reminiscent of a newspaper.
You actually were one of the founders of the Open Directory Project, which is currently a huge thing online right now. What did you guys learn from building the Open Directory that you've applied to this new site?
Well, the Open Directory was built with 60,000 volunteer editors,
mm-hmm.
and they built a giant web directory similar to Yahoo's. It's, I think, three or four times bigger than Yahoo's directory now.
Yeah.
And it's actually the directory tab on Google.com
mm-hmm.
as well, in addition to being used by AOL and Netscape. It was a very successful project, but we sort of took the opposite tack with Topics.net, and we have zero human editors on Topics. It's all
mm-hmm.
done with AI.
Mm-hmm.
Humans are really good at some tasks, but the scale of what we were doing here is just so vast that we couldn't have humans manually editing the stories or selecting top stories or categorizing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's too big a project for even 60,000 people to undertake.
What's fascinating is what it seems like you're building is somewhat of a dynamically populated directory, because it looks like you still have that focus on different categorizations of content, which is different than, let's say, a regular search engine where you just type in a particular keyword that you want to find and it just comes up with a bunch of search results. You're actually categorizing by city, location, by topics, by industry, even by company and locations. Now, is that what the vision was, is that you were trying to create a directory type of a search engine?
What we're trying to do is classify text by concept instead of keyword.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to Google and type in some words, you're not necessarily looking for that string of characters and documents. You're trying to find documents about something.
Mm-hmm.
It might be about IBM. It might be about a health condition you have or a sports team that you're interested in researching. But if you type in a name, say Scott Peterson or Janet Jackson,
mm-hmm.
these are actually relatively common names. Mm-hmm. There's thousands of people in the country with those names, and some of them are online, and some of them make it into the media, besides the ones that we commonly think of. So we wanted a system that could be intelligent enough to decide whether a document was actually about a concept as opposed to just being a strict keyword match.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking with Rich Skrinda. He's the CEO of Topix.net. That's T-O-P-I-X.net, world's largest online news site. Plenty more with Rich in a second. Stick around. This is Web Talk Radio.
Hey, radio lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
Please, children, scooch closer. Don't make me tell you again about the scooching.
You're still with Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and I've got Dana Greenlee in here with us. Rich Skrinda, CEO of Topix.net and co-founder of Netscape's Open Directory Project, is still on the line with us, and he's filling us in on his cool new site, Topix.net.
You know, I guess I'm looking at your site, and I know that, obviously, like you said, Google does it, moreover, and there's some other companies that do similar kind of thing, but not anywhere near as good as Topix. But I remember a few years back, there was this big controversy about deep linking to news stories and bypassing the front page of newspaper sites. Is that still an issue? Do you know from the news creator's point of view if they really don't like you going straight into a story?
Most of the sources we've linked to are very happy to get our traffic. In fact, mm-hmm. we've gotten many, many requests from news organizations that saw our site and asked to be specifically included in our crawls. Mm-hmm. And to date, we've had only one source that said they didn't want to appear on our pages, so we took them out.
Wow.
We have an opt-out policy for any site that doesn't wish to be crawled by us. But currently on the live site, we're crawling 3,600 sources. That's soon to be 5,800 sources.
Wow.
Beyond just the newspapers, TV stations, radio stations, and typical news outlets. We're also including coverage from 550 college newspapers,
wow.
Police departments, crime blotters, health inspection reports. OSHA puts out reports about companies. The Coast Guard puts out reports about maritime events. All of this is going into our system and being categorized. So you might see a report from the Coast Guard about, you know, maybe if your neighbor gets lost at sea on our site, alongside an article from a local TV station and a newspaper.
How far are you guys going to take that out to? Are you guys going to categorize blogs? Are you guys going to grab the RSS feeds, those kind of content things that are going on online right now?
Yeah, we're looking at blogs. We've got, I'd say, about 50 blogs in our system that
mm-hmm.
are particularly high quality that we editorially included. And we're looking at how to include sort of the greater blog universe onto our site.
So when you go through and you basically access sources, do you, like, rank those sources and how important they are, and those sources are the ones that get featured more and in higher listings on your site itself?
Currently, we're not doing any of that. Right now, the system has a preference for sources that provide pictures.
Oh,
our site likes pictures, so it'll,
okay.
it'll always trade out a story with a picture over a, you know, a similar story about the same event that doesn't have a photo. Going forward, there are a number of techniques that we're going to be enhancing our site with. And it probably won't be an absolute prominence of the source. If you just dialed it up and said, well, I only want prominent news sites, you'd get CNN and New York Times and Washington Post. And we feel that would sort of bland down the experience. What we would like to do is to make the site locally relevant to you.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just saying, let's favor newspapers with large circulation, we're going to favor newspapers that are close to you regarding subjects that know that are more authoritative about the subject they're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
But here's an example. Let's say you're in Los Angeles and you're reading a story about the Chicago Cubs. If you read that story from a newspaper in Florida, your impression is that they couldn't know anything about the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read a story about the Cubs from a newspaper in Chicago, even a very small newspaper in Chicago, you think, oh, they must know what they're talking about because they're in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Is the newspaper close to the person who's reading the story, or is the newspaper close to the thing they're talking about?
Why right now is this whole news gathering on the web such a hot thing right now? It seems like Yahoo and Google are actually putting a lot of resources into this. What is the core value, I guess, that this site offers to a visitor that's coming through your site?
Well, there's two things. News has become a draw for users.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this with what happened in the presidential election primaries. Users have shifted their behavior. They're going online to seek out news now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really something new. All the news didn't used to be online. If you go back to 1995, birth of the Internet, there wasn't the variety of news online,
mm-hmm.
and users weren't online seeking it. The second factor is that dynamic content draws repeat visitors. If I go to Google and do a search, say, around TiVo or you know, Honda Accord, that's a one-time event. I don't go to Google every day and type in TiVo to let Google know that I have a TiVo so it can show me TiVo ads. But I will go to a news page about TiVo and hit reload on that page throughout the day to see if there's new stories coming out about TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
So dynamic content is really special in terms of drawing users to repeatedly view content, and it affords advertisers an opportunity to market to a demographic and not just to a keyword.
That kind of leads me to my next question is, how are you guys monetizing this service, and what's your plan for that in the future?
Well, we're selling advertising on our site.
Mm-hmm.
The first tier of advertising we have has been done with Google's AdSense product.
Oh, okay.
And that's been working great for
us.
So we actually have local ads on a majority of our site that have been programmed from Google's database of 150,000 advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
We're also selling ads directly. And in addition to ad sales, we are also selling categorized feeds of our news to other sites that want to rebrand our content and host it to sell.
In the past, people have always relied on getting maybe a newsletter kind of thing of topics they're interested in. Google has those sort of keyword where they send you an email anytime a topic is. But now you have something new and different and exciting right there on the upper right-hand corner of your page. Tell us about how people can get the news delivered to them.
Well, we've got an RSS feed for each of our categories. We're actually the largest generator of RSS on the net right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have 150,000 RSS feeds. So if you have an RSS reader, such as NewsGator, or if you're using one of the web-based ones like Bloglines, you can subscribe to any topic's channel and basically get that delivered to your desktop. Or if you use the MyYahoo service, MyYahoo has just developed their own RSS reader module.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked with the MyYahoo folks to preload 35,000 of our most active channels into their system. So if you're a MyYahoo user, you can subscribe to any topic's channel and include that on your MyYahoo desktop with one click from our site.
That is so terrific. So just bypass email altogether, thank goodness.
Yeah, well, my email box is so cluttered with spam and stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think RSS is very exciting because it's a subscription-based model, and you're really only going to get what you asked for.
So do you see the whole RSS type of functionality being a really huge way that people get news content in the future?
There's so much news content being published worldwide,
mm-hmm.
that it's very nice to have a standard for the dissemination of that information. One new source that Topics is looking at adding is Amber Alert system.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a site which is turning Amber Alerts from 48 states into an RSS feed.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
And this is a wonderful resource that we can plug our system into and then be able to surface those alerts on our pages.
One area that you guys aren't covering yet that I've noticed is media. Are you guys going to get involved in audio and video part of those news feeds?
That's something we're definitely looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the only thing beyond text that we're doing is photos. But our technology is, in the same way it can pick up a photo from a site, we can also pick up links to real media streams or to video streams. Including that on our site is something that we're very excited about doing.
Yeah, I think it would pull all the pieces together. You'd have the text and the, you know, and the media as well. And, boy, you really have a robust solution for people, I think.
Watch out, everybody. Here comes topics.
Yeah, that's right.
Rich, I know that this can change all the time, but what is the current hot subject area or something that you're seeing? I'm sure you track what people are looking at and pulling in, right?
We have a column on our front page called People Buzz that lists individuals who are in the news. And it basically, the order of the people will change depending on whether they're appearing in the news or not.
Mm. Oh.
I don't know who's up there right now.
Who's up there right now?
Let's take a look. Ben Affleck is actually number one today.
Oh.
I wonder why. I wonder what's going on with
movie.
Him today.
Let's click on it.
That's right. There's a movie coming out this week.
You don't have to guess, though. You can go to topics.
That's right.
It'll tell you.
So we've had Michael Jackson, of course, Jim Carrey, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Howard Stern, Paris Hilton. It basically tracks the buzz around individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the news stories? Do you have sort of a buzz around?
Yeah. Like top news stories?
We do. We have a top story section within each of our channels that tracks sort of the major events happening. That's a common feature for something like world news or even for local news. We will have top stories for very non-obvious categories.
How much news media coverage have you guys gotten since you've launched?
We've had quite a bit of press. Our biggest story so far was the front page story in the San Jose Mercury News. We just got a mention in the Newsweek story about Google, which is nice as well. We've been talking to Business Week and Investors Business Daily, gave an interview to Seattle Times. The uptake has been pretty good. Maybe for obvious reasons, journalists are keenly interested in our site and what we're doing.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Makes their life a lot easier, and they can see their story spread.
Yeah, it's no accident that we put our journalism category on the front page. It's sort of a nod to the industry that we're working with here to obtain the news. It's actually a great journalism page. I think it's one of machine-generated journalism roundups that's on the net.
Yeah, not to mention for academic libraries all over the world. They're all going to
do their research here. It's going to be a terrific source of news information for millions of people around the world. Now, the site also supports cities around the world, right? I mean, if a person wants to get news from other places outside of the United States, they can do that too?
We go down to the country level
for
countries outside of the U.S. So we'll have a page about India, a page about China, and so on, 229 countries total. Going down to block level news for the entire world is something that our system is capable of, but for now we're just focusing on the U.S. market.
So when you say block level news, I mean, are you talking like streets? You could enter in streets or something like that, or how does that work?
The way our system works is when a story comes by, in addition to the subject categorization we do on it, we detect references to streets and other geographical features. And actually assign a set of latitude and longitude coordinates to the story.
Oh, wow.
We're disambiguating the geographical references and then saying, okay, this story is talking about this very specific point on a map of the world. And currently we're only doing the U.S. There's really nothing preventing us from expanding the focus of the site to both crawl all of the news media published across the world and to do this, basically down to the individual street level for every place in the entire world.
And I'm sure that you could extend it down to a single person, or you could extend it down to an object or something like that that maybe had some press written about it, I guess, too, as well. So
that's right. And it's the combination of the categorization that really provides the whole being more of the sum of the parts. If a story comes by about the Scott Peterson trial, and the Scott Peterson trial is occurring in Redwood City, and there are stories that are actually about both the trial and Redwood City.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a mini media circus going on around the trial, and there were some store owners charging $1,000 a week for parking spaces in front of their stores to media vans that wanted to park there. So this was a Scott Peterson trial story, but it's also a local Redwood City story. You can only show the context around the story that it's both of these things if you've put 100% of the news in the world on one website.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Rich, I definitely predict that in a very, very short time, we'll stop hearing that I'm Googling someone and we're going to be topicsing someone to check them out. That your name is going to be in the vernacular now, I'm sure.
That's right.
Well, that would be cool.
Well, Rich, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
It was great hearing about your new site, and we'll be following it real close.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
We've been talking with Rich Sgrinta. He's the CEO of Topix.net. You can find it at Topix, TOPIX.net. Now, don't unplug just yet, because we're going to find out about public relations and search engine optimization with Greg Jarbo. This is Web Talk Radio.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
I'm interested in upgrading my 28.8 kilobaud internet connection to a 1.5 megabit fiber optic T1 line. Will you be able to provide an IP router that's compatible with my token ring Ethernet LAN configuration?
Can I have some money now?
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. This is Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and thanks for joining us and listening today. My name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Dana over here. Search engines are becoming more important every day, if that's possible, to any organization that has a public relations effort.
Greg Jarbo, founder of SEO-PR.com, is on the line with us to share how combining search engine optimization and public relations can be a powerful way to promote any company online. Greg, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
Last summer, we met down at the Search Engine Strategies Conference down in San Jose. So do you go to all of the Search Engine Strategies events around the country, or do you just kind of pick and choose which ones that you go to?
Boy, it begins to feel like that. I've been to the Boston one, the San Jose, Chicago, and now New York.
Really?
If that makes me a regular on the circuit.
I would say it probably does. Well, what do you do at these events when you go?
Well, I get all the trade show tchotchke I can collect to bring home to the kids.
Okay.
If I don't bring home really good stuff, you know, the trip just wasn't worth it.
Okay. So there's a pretty good chance that I'll probably see you down in San Jose this spring.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about your company, Search Engine PR, or SEO PR. And why don't you tell us kind of in a nutshell what that is?
We are a specialty, and this is probably a sign that the search engine market is now growing big enough to actually begin sort of segmenting off into specialties. There are a number of people who do search engine advertising, but I've been in the public relations business for over 20 years, and it always sort of intrigued me that there was no analog. There wasn't a search engine PR side to the proposition. And one of the things I initially started experimenting with was if you optimized a press release, could it get found in Google or Yahoo or one of the search engines? And generally the answer was no.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way you can build enough links to a press release over time or, you know, even in a hurry for it to compete with web pages that have been out there for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple years ago, new search engines arrived on the scene. The first one that actually included press releases in its mix of information sources was Google News.
Mm-hmm.
It now has approximately 4,500 sources, and of the 4,500, most of them are what you would call the usual suspects, you know, New York Times, Washington Post, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also includes the press release distribution services.
Yeah.
So PR Newswire, Business Wire, PR Web, others. And one of the things we started doing was experimenting. We had failed in our experiments of getting press releases found in the main search results,
mm-hmm.
but we found that we were successful at getting press releases found in the news search engine results.
Mm-hmm.
And you needed to do some pretty rudimentary things in terms of making sure your headline was optimized, your lead paragraph was optimized, that you know you had a key search term in your press release that was focused on only one or two terms.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did that correctly, not only did your press release get found the day it went out, but it could continue to be found in the search results on the new search engine, particularly Google News, for up to 30 days.
Oh,
and the good news is, just last week, when Yahoo News was overhauled and basically rolled out a brand new algorithm, Yahoo News now crawls 7,000 sources, and that also includes press releases. So now the tactic that we've been sort of developing over the last year or so with new search engines that had worked on Google News now also works just fine on Yahoo News.
Mm-hmm. How much better it is for a client to get his company recognized via qualified news source than it is just a random, you know, like PR Newswire. It definitely lends that credentials to it.
Well, there's actually an interesting phenomena afoot, and it has to do with journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And most PR people are focused on pushing their press release to journalists who absolutely don't want to see them. If you've ever been a journalist, you understand there's over 2,000 press releases issued a day.
Wow.
And no journalist wants to triage through all of that.
No, they don't.
So what they do is when they get a story assignment, they go to a search engine and do a search.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is journalists have learned that if you want to find recent information that's less than 30 days old, it can sometimes take up to 30 days for the main search engine to find a result. So by going to the new search engine, they're finding timely information to do a story. There was a survey done by Middleburg Ross recently that not only found that 98% of journalists go online daily, 92% of them to do article research, but 73% of them are searching for press releases. And the amazing thing is journalists are looking for press releases?
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, who knew? So what we do is we're basically providing them information that they're looking for at the time they need it, and our job is to hopefully help them find relevant information.
Can a company use what's in their press release to create almost like a news article? Is that really what we're talking about here? Is the press release is almost evolving into almost being a news article itself that can be indexed by these news bots? I mean, it's almost like it's bypassing the publication part of this, and that press release is becoming the article.
Yes and no. If the press isn't interested in your release, it may be a good tip-off that even the consuming public may not be interested in the content either. In other words, a fundamental truth is no amount of optimization is going to get non-news turned into news. If you can get somebody to even look at your release and there's nothing newsworthy in it, nobody's going to do anything about it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you have serious and legitimate news, and we worked recently with Southwest Airlines, and they were announcing in mid-February a new service to Philadelphia. And one of the ways they were promoting the fact that they were coming into Philadelphia for the first time was to offer $29 one-way fares.
Mm.
Now, that's news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll say.
So when we optimized the press release, not only did they get news coverage in the Wall Street Journal or, you know, New York Times, the Washington Post, the International Herald Tribune, you name it, a dozen major publications. But they had embedded tracking links in their press release so that they knew that when a consumer read the release on a new search engine, clicked on the link, came over to Southwest.com, they were then able to track to see if that consumer went on to buy a ticket, and they were able to track $42,000 in ticket sales for a brand new, city that they were servicing from a single press release.
Wow.
That's incredible, return on investment.
Yeah.
On that
Needless to say, they are now busily working more releases like that.
Well, and that's what you specialize, Greg, at SEOPR. You know, you marry the two ideas together. And why don't you pick just one more exciting and new way that you guys offer a service that people aren't traditionally thinking about as far as promoting their own website or company?
Sure. Well, one of the things that we've done just within the last week and a half is partner with one of the distribution services, and that's PR Web. And we decided to go with PR Web because they are the most search engine savvy of the news distribution services out there. Somebody can go to PR Web, sign up for our service, and for $270, we will optimize the release and distribute it through PR Web. And one of the things that PR Web adds is paid inclusion. One of the things that PR Web does is make sure that it gets into both Google News and Yahoo News. And, oh, by the way, PR Web also distributes it to reporters who have opted in to receive press releases via email, and they've got over 65,000 journalists who are in their database. Plus, they also also send it out as an RSS feed so that RSS readers or aggregators can read it too. One of the things that we're finding is we just put a press release out last week for a little organization down in Key West, Florida called Island Dolphin Care. Mm-hmm. And they provide dolphin therapy. So if you have a critically ill child, swimming with dolphins is a way to sort of reconnect with the world. And if you do a search for dolphin therapy today on either Google News or Yahoo News, you'll find that their release is on the first page of listings.
Ooh, congratulations. That's good placement.
So here's the punchline. They've had over 15,000 people read the release. It helps put them on the map and let people know about their service.
There's a growing trend toward these sites that pull news sources from all over the country. I actually spent this entire show talking about the whole concept of pulling news sources into one site online as a resource for people to do searching under news. I mean, like Google News and Yahoo News and Moreover and all those kind of folks are really pulling news from all sorts of feeds. And it's really, I think, giving a new opportunity, I think, for PR and those areas to get the message out more effectively.
It is a new opportunity, but frankly, I've found very few PR people are quick to grab it. We've been out sort of in sort of a missionary mode for the last year and a half trying to encourage PR people to take advantage of the service.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the funny things that we've discovered is that it's SEO firms who get it faster.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because they understand the power of search engines. And PR people still say, wait a second, it's a search engine. I don't know how to pitch an editor at a search engine. They don't have editors. They have algorithms. And the answer is yes. Well, you can pitch an algorithm the way you pitch a curmudgeonly editor. You just got to know what makes them cranky and,
and avoid
that's
it.
Right.
It's a very similar process.
Thank you so much, Greg. In our last few seconds, just tell us how we can contact you. Anybody that's looking for some PR for their business.
Sure.
Give us the information.
Our website is www.seo-pr.com. You can also find us through our partner site, which is www.prweb.com. They're the distribution partner who we put together this joint venture with.
Greg, thank you for joining us on the show. It was great to speak with you again.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you take care and have a great day.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Greg Jarboe, founder of SEO-PR.com. That's all the time we have for Web Talk Radio this week. On behalf of Rob and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll see you round the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.